Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello. Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
It's been a while.
Well, it's been a long week.
Come in. Wipe your feet.
Sit down.
Sit down.
Welcome to a one-off. Yeah. You know how The Office did two seasons and then a Christmas special?
Right.
This is like that, except we did 3 years.
So when...
And a Christmas special, except nobody gives a shit.
No one cares.
Yeah.
But so Dawn, this is the one where Dawn and Tim get together.
This is where Tim and Josh finally hook up.
Finally, yeah, yeah.
Welcome to a Christmas special of the Excitable Boy podcast. This is a one-off that we're going to split into two halves. And we were thinking, what's a good way to really... You know, to really get in your living room this Christmas.
Get Christmassy.
To really be present with you.
Yeah.
And we thought, what better way to do it than to do a non-director's commentary of the greatest Christmas movie of all time, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
No, we're doing Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Die Hard is I'm getting a bit tired of people saying, oh, it's a Christmas film, actually. It is obviously a Christmas
film.
Well,
it takes place during Christmas.
It's just people think that they're being alternative.
Is it a Christmas film, though?
Yeah. It's about a man learning.
It doesn't have Santa in it. That's the thing. You know, by that metric, you could say that, you know, Uncle Buck... It's a Christmas film.
It is a Christmas film.
Isn't it? Really, is it?
Just because
John Candy looked rotund.
Let's start.
Like Santa. Okay.
The greatest film. It's not. Okay, let's set the scene, guys. It's 1988.
Mm-hmm.
Huey Lewis in the news. Duran Duran.
Yeah.
In Excess.
Lots of Hairspray.
Biggest bands in the world. Flock of Seagulls. Tears for Fears. And out comes this movie with the guy from Moonlighting. He's just a television actor.
Yeah.
He's just a TV guy. Comes this movie with a man, a simple man, an ordinary man in extraordinary circumstances, right, trying to get to his wife for Christmas.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen. So now's your chance to sync up with us so we can watch it together.
Right. There we go. Yeah. So welcome. I remember when I directed this film.
Mm-hmm.
In the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I was 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very important to me that the leading man looked like me. So that's who we got, Bruce Willis. He had an egg-shaped head.
How much blow do you think was consumed on the set of this film?
I think Bruce is quite abstemious. I think he probably looked at some of the people doing it and just went, no. Okay, so we have a plane landing. Literally, it's going to be me recounting what's going on, you know, in a literal fashion.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, you love this film.
Hard Knuckles, Bruce Willis.
So this is Bruce Willis.
He's scared of flying.
Okay. Oh, he's okay.
Great. There's a guy sat next to him.
Yeah.
Letterbox mode. This film's in letterbox mode.
Well, it's actually anamorphic.
Oh.
It's not letter. Well, I mean, it's an aspect ratio, Josh.
Okay.
They use particular lens. It's very cinematic. Mm-hmm. And it's shot with anamorphic lenses.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very interesting.
And you make fists with your toes.
So what's he doing now?
So Willis is on the airplane.
Right.
He's scared of flying. Someone says, get where you're going. Make fists with your toes when you get there on the carpet.
Okay, this is all set up, isn't it? So he's going home for Christmas.
Yeah.
He wants to see his wife.
What was the aspect ratio? Do you say anamorphic?
Yeah.
Do you like... So you sort of... You know a bit about filmmaking.
Oh, I know loads.
Well, that's interesting, Tim, because... Look at this. I got you a Christmas present.
Oh!
Look at that.
I didn't get you anything.
Well...
I didn't get you anything. Can I open it?
Yeah.
Oh,
of course, but open it away from the
away
mic.
Away from the mic, okay.
So now Bruce Willis is getting off the aeroplane. There's a bear. They actually deleted a scene there.
Really?
Where he...
What did they delete? Titles.
This is the titles.
Start to finish, Woody Allen and the Art of Movie Making.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
His biographer.
Wow.
Yeah, and look, I left the price on it as well.
So what you, I know how much you spent.
Yeah.
That's good, because you spent a lot on it.
I did spend a lot on it.
So you really wanted me to know.
Yeah, and it's hardback.
Well, it is hardback.
I know how much you like people who marry their daughters.
Yes, so. I love them. I think they're bold. They're breaking the mold.
So I got you a copy of the book.
Thank you.
The man, one of the greatest clarinet players of all time.
Oh, he's amazing, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Josh and I went down to the Albert Hall and watched him
play. We saw Woody Allen play a concert this year.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Merry Christmas. Okay. Thanks for not getting me anything. Okay, so now we're back in the room. Mr. Takagi is addressing.
So Mr. Takagi is a boss of a company.
Look how 80s everyone's clothes are.
Incidentally, what were the other working titles for Die Hard?
I don't know.
Okay.
I know that...
I think Die Aryan Die is a good one.
I know that Black Hawk Down, remember that film?
Yeah.
That was the original script for Die Hard 3.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No, because that actually happened.
No, I think they altered it afterwards to make it more about true life events. But I think it was his plane crashes or something, and he has to survive in like a rogue nation.
Okay.
And then there was here's
Ellis. I love this guy. He's the best thing, not the best thing in this film, but he's fantastic.
And a roaring Ellis fireplace. Slice.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you're just going to quote it all the way through.
So the deleted scene when Bruce Willis gets off the airplane and he picks up that big teddy bear.
Yeah.
And he bumps into the air stewardess. Like, one of the running gags of this film is every woman checks out Bruce Willis.
Oh, okay. Right?
And the air stewardess checks him out and he's holding this big teddy bear that's for his daughter, and he looks at the teddy bear and goes, "Too young to travel," addressing the teddy bear. And, right. and the air stewardess goes, "I'm not."
Oh, wow.
And they deleted that scene.
Fruity.
Now we're meeting Lucy McLean, the daughter.
Who's Lucy McLean?
She's John and Holly's daughter. Right. She's in Die Hard 4 or 5, which doesn't count as part of the trilogy if you're a real fan.
And
no snooping around the house looking for
presents. And you know, Bruce Willis had hair.
Yeah.
Strong acting from that child. Well done, that child. We'll see what I'm being serious. You know?
See, the 80s, this is when you could have a Mexican house cleaner.
Yeah, and it's fine.
Hello, Missy Hello. Mickey. Hello, Missy Johnny.
Hola, Mrs. Did Mr. McLean call?
No, Mrs. Holly.
Do they also cut a scene where she just has a go at her? I told you to do the washing up before you left last night.
But it's Christmas, Mrs. McLean. It's Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas. You're not getting a bonus. Sling your rook.
Yeah, here's your Christmas bonus. Here's $5. Take yourself to the cinema. Mm. $5 is a lot more in the 80s.
You sure you don't want a beer?
No, it's 12:30 in the afternoon.
All right. Don't join me.
All right, I'll have one beer.
Right.
Okay. Okay, now McLean's walking through the airport. He checks out a girl who runs into the arms of a hunk. Fucking California.
So are you just audio describing the film for people who haven't synced it to the film?
No, I just thought it would be an interesting thing to talk about the film.
Okay.
Watch the film, and then we could talk about the big things that have happened this year. But we've got 2 hours.
Right.
So...
Okay, this guy.
Now we meet Argyle, who's one of the great characters of this movie. I never acted you... again after this.
Yeah, exactly. I heard you hold forth about this guy. I don't see the big deal, to be honest.
Well, I was hoping you could tell me. First day on the job. It's my first time driving a limo. Close enough. It's okay. It's my first time riding in one. Relax. We got everything in this mug, man. Look at this. CD redundant. CB redundant. TV redundant. Redundant. VHS redundant.
Yeah. All he needs now is a big stack of...
See, McLean here, he's riding up front in the limo. Because he's what they're trying to do there is they're just showing that he's just a regular Joe, you know? He's uncomfortable
being driven,
enjoying the liberties that the Nakatomi Plaza and right. Mr. Takagi have granted him as a privilege.
Yeah.
He's not happy with it.
He's real.
So he sat up front with the limo driver because he's a blue collar guy. You know,
blue collar guy.
Hard working guy.
Salt of the earth.
Yeah.
You know? Springsteen and all that. Do you know what I mean? Rust belt. A rust belt fucking man just riding up front with a black driver like it's the most natural thing in the world in LA in the 80s, which is a very racist place, even more so than now, actually. Okay, so now what?
Well, you see, that's the Nakatomi Plaza.
Right.
That's actually the Fox Plaza. That's how they filmed in there for so long, filmed around it.
What was their building?
That's the Fox building, still is.
Right.
Yeah, I went to see it when I was in LA.
Really?
Yeah.
You just...
I got an Uber there.
Was it an attraction?
Got there, went to take a picture, my phone died, and then I went home.
What? Great story. Could you tell it again? That's, okay, so now he's playing a tape player.
Run DMC. Christmas in Hollis. So what happened this year? What have we missed since we stopped doing the podcast in, was it June, July?
God.
I mean, the downfall of Western civilization in many ways.
Bitcoin. You want to get on Bitcoin.
Oh, my fucking God, yeah.
You want to have a Bitcoin for some reason.
Ugh. How many people listening to this, how many people have fucking talked to you at length about their Bitcoin investment this year? Just in the last month.
No one is talking.
Everyone. Everywhere I go, people are talking about how, I'm thinking about getting into Bitcoin. Yeah, I'm really...
Really?
I'm really thinking about it, yeah. You've seen how much has gone up this week. If you put £1 in last week, this week it's worth £8 billion.
Yeah.
Did you not know? Yeah, so basically there's like loads of cryptocurrencies. Yeah. There's Bitcoin, there's Aviator.
Right.
Whatever it's called. CryptoCoin.
Right.
And Horizons. And basically, right, it's just, there's only 8 coins in existence. So you don't actually, you buy like a portion of the coin. But it's just going up so much at the moment.
Right.
I had a friend last year. So I invested in a restaurant, right? And my friend invested in Bitcoin, and my profit has been £12,000. He's made £87,000 this year.
Mm.
Have you got any coke?
Have you got any coke?
Have you got any coke?
Got any Bitcoin?
So, how do you think more coke is bought this time of year for Christmas office parties?
Oh, for certainly.
Yeah. Have you ever done coke at an office party?
No.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
But also, I would say... No, not at all. I haven't been... First of all, I haven't been to an office party. I don't think I've ever worked in an office where I had an office party. I'm a free-wheeling spirit.
I see it as one of the greatest triumphs of my adult life that I've never had to go to an office Christmas party.
Well, no one has to go, but you just get pressured into it.
Yeah. So right now, McLean is typing in. He's trying to find his wife.
This is like touchscreen technology in the 80s.
Yeah, and he types in McLean and she's not there. And then he types in Gennaro, her maiden name. Here's the thing I don't get.
And this would blow their minds.
So he says, so McLean searches for his wife.
Yeah.
And he goes, cute little toy. Types in her name. Can't find her name under McLean. Types in Gennaro. And he goes, Holly Gennaro, 13th floor. And then the receptionist goes, yeah, they're the only ones left in the building. So... Why didn't he just say that when he walked in?
Well, but you just know he's Gennaro is the...
Gennaro's his wife.
Yeah, yeah. But
and he says Gennaro, and he goes, oh, she's on the 13th floor. And then the receptionist goes, yeah, they're the only ones left in the building. Right. So when he walked in, the receptionist could have just gone, oh, mate, the only ones left in the building are on the 13th floor. Don't worry about searching. If she's anywhere, she'll be on the 13th floor.
Well, what you got to do, Josh, is you got to write that shit down. And send
that
in.
I'm just saying, I love...
And don't tell me
it's
that.
A hole in the...
That's what you got to do.
It's a hole in the plot.
Yeah, you got to really tell someone via a letter.
Argyle's parking up his limo.
Yeah.
Little does he know that this night is going to change his life forever.
Bruce Willis staring up at the lift. Now he's just into the party, into the throng. He's not of these people. These people are privileged. They're probably all on coke. In fact, one of them is on coke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ellis is...
Oh, he's excellent, isn't he?
Ellis.
Ever, just slightly too much.
And someone gives him a kiss now. Merry Christmas! Fucking California.
Well, does this all take place in California then?
Yeah.
Oh, because he's a New York cop.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's seen things.
Yeah, he's from the street. He's of the street.
Look, he's judging the shit out of this party right now.
Bruce Willis he takes a sip of the fancy red drink, puts it back.
Yeah. Give me a beer, man.
He's a beer and bourbon kind of guy.
Yeah, give me a beer. He's just wryly amused.
Do you know what? I've quit smoking, right? And people talk about the glorification of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Another woman checking him out. Merry Christmas. Fucking California.
He's free-spirited. He kisses him on the cheek. Which is a homophobic line, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
It's slightly homophobic.
But
it's
this film makes me want to smoke.
Right. What? Oh. Oh, this is...
That's Mr. Takagi. Yeah. Nice.
Have you to thank for that?
It seemed the least we could do.
Well...
Oh, important plot point.
Yeah. Here we go. Here's the coke scene. Walks in her office.
That was great. Sheepish. I've just got caught doing coke.
Holly's policeman.
Right.
Do you know what this film misses?
What?
No, thank you.
Like a theme tune, like an 80s.
What, the scene?
No, the film. Oh, it misses like a Die Hard theme tune.
All right, you should try to write one. And then, again, record it and send it off.
You know what? It needs like an 80s riff. It needs to be a bit more badass than that, doesn't it?
Die Hard.
There we go.
That's it. Die Hard. Die Hard. You're falling through the air and you're gonna hit the ground. It's hard, you're gonna die hard. You're falling down, stories, stories after stories from the top of Takagi Plaza, die hard.
Nakatomi Plaza.
Nakatomi. What did I say? Yakuza.
There's a man trying to get to his wife. All he wants to do is get home for Christmas time. But there's a multinational, like, kind of, like, very international, like, multiracial terrorist group. Mm. Trying to stand
we'll
in the
we'll way. Come on to that.
Yeah.
Because you have said, you've bored me a lot with
die
that one.
Hard. You're gonna die, not softly, you're gonna die hard. You're not gonna die at a medium level, you're only gonna die hard.
Yeah.
Okay, now he's got his vest. He's taking his shirt off.
So is Bruce Willis... Are they having marital problems?
Cappy Growler's retired out here.
Well, let's find out.
Oh.
Are
you?
Tell me
I could bunk in with him.
Cappy retired, huh? Where's he live?
Pomona.
I find it a bit rude that he's just using her nice office...
To just, yeah.
Bathroom towels to clean his armpits.
He's high status. He takes what he wants.
Their bedroom.
You know?
Huge.
He uses everyday items for unorthodox purposes.
Kids would love to at your house. Have you at the house? They would, huh? And then she goes.
I would too.
Oh, there's unfinished business. They still love each other.
Unfinished business.
They still love each other.
We've established that.
Is that an unrequited love? No.
No, because it's more like a thwarted.
Oh.
Because they both feel that life's complicated. I think that's what this scene puts across.
Well, in many ways, that's what makes this movie so...
Yeah, the nuance.
Such an embodiment of the human spirit.
Yeah.
Is that life is difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult. And then you've got to go and shoot some bad guys.
Now they're having an argument now about...
You're here
about
in... Basically, it's like you're here in Sodom... With the coke snorting devil people. I'm just an honest New York cop who can't show my feelings or be emotional. Yeah.
The idea of our marriage should be. Look, she checks him out. Every woman checks him out.
But he's not, that wasn't a checkout. She just goes, I didn't realise you had company. She's not going, and sees him and goes, yeah, fuck you.
Even a heavily...
Swipe right.
Even a heavily pregnant woman checks out John McClane in this movie.
There should be like a Die Hard Tinder.
Swipe right. I'm looking. Asian Dom.
Well, he's headbutting the cheap set.
It is a very cheap
set.
It
sounded quite hollow.
Yeah. That's why he's wearing a vest. Oh, what's happening here?
Yeah.
There's a courier arriving on Christmas Eve.
Oh.
I think there's no post on Christmas
Eve.
They're
tracking along now.
German car.
And there's a very... The score is very foreboding.
I believe it's Michael Kamen did the score to this film.
Oh, you mean Michael Kamen
Is that right? Michael Nyman or Michael Kamen?
Kamen of the Kamen Isles.
Yes, Tim. Michael Kamen, who's... I met his wife once.
He came and saw...
He's dead. He's dead now.
He's dead, Kamen.
I met his wife once and I said, I really loved your husband's score of Die Hard. And she said, thanks, and started crying.
Really?
Yeah, it was awkward.
Well, no, it's... I mean, you know...
No, it was very sweet.
Yeah, you... She's obviously still grieving.
It was awkward. I tried to...
It could have been happy tears.
I tried to bring up the plot hole of the reception.
Yeah, that would probably be...
She wasn't interested.
Can we just address the blonde guy? The evil blonde guy who just shot the receptionist.
He didn't say anything.
Blondes get a bad rap in this. Because they're kind of European Aryans, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, don't trust an Aryan, don't trust a black guy. Do you know what I mean?
No, that's not true, because two of the main good guys are black. Yeah. The limo driver.
Okay, well, don't trust, like, an Aryan long-haired, you know...
This bit seems a bit pointless. Like, if there's no one in the building, why is he throwing a smoke bomb at the guy?
It looks like...
A hockey puck.
A hockey puck.
It looks like a small wheel of Edam cheese.
Yeah. I think it was that.
See, there's so many irrelevant, like, why don't they just shoot him? Okay, now all of our bad
here
guys...
Here they come.
Look at them.
Boom. Oh, here we go. Oh, there he is.
See, one of the things that makes this film so...
Alan motherfucking Rickman is in the house.
Alan is in the building.
Here he comes.
One of the things that makes this film so timeless is that, generally speaking, in movie... like action movie history, the bad guys often mirror like socio-political problems.
Well, yeah, like in the Cold War.
Yeah, all
they
the bad...
were Russian.
Who are the bad guys in Rocky?
They were Russians.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if you watch any film that's like mid-2000s, they're all sort of Arabian guys with turbans.
Yeah.
You know? And now they're all brown people with beards. Like Taken.
Right.
You know? And they invent like these country names like Reblakistan or something. Kablekia.
Yeah. And have you seen Back to the Future?
Yeah they're Russians, yeah.
No,
aren't they?
No, they're Libyans.
Are they?
Yeah, do you know at the beginning? They just call
them...
Oh,
yeah, they are. The Libyans.
He steals plutonium off the Libyans. And they show up in a camper van.
Yeah, a camper van, yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And they're shouting.
Yeah, and one of them's got a bazooka.
Yeah, bazooka.
Yeah.
But they're just... Yeah, it's a completely... I mean, there's no subtlety to how they're portrayed at all. They're just fucking nasty, incompetent... guys in the camper van. I don't know why a camper van, a VW.
So, what makes this film so great is that the terrorists are from every walk of life, every creed, every colour.
You've said that, but it's a truly international group.
But I think that's one of the reasons this film survives, is that the bad guys haven't dated.
Well, I think it survives because it's a good film.
No, Tim, it's not a good film.
Oh, that's a great film, yes.
It's the best film.
I like this guy.
Oh, yeah. And this is the brother, isn't it? This is the first... This guy's the first one to croak.
First one to...
Sorry if you haven't seen it.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, if you're watching this for the first time with us commentating, then just turn us off.
People die.
Turn us off and enjoy the magic of the... In Germany, it was called The Hard.
The Hard?
The Hard. Like die. D means...
D-I-E oh, of course it's called The Hard.
The bar. The.
Why is it called Die Hard?
Because he dies hard.
He doesn't die.
Do you know what Home Alone is called in Germany? I was there last week. It's called... It was on TV and I went, oh, you've Home Alone. And they went, no, in Germany it's called Kevin Alone in the House.
Very literal. Very literal.
And I was like, what's Home Alone 2 called? Well, Kevin Alone in New York.
Oh, Kevin. Yeah, Culkin now. What's he up to? He's looking very haggard.
Yeah, but you know.
I do feel sorry for him, because...
I just think that we need to invent some laws to protect child movie stars.
I think there are laws.
No, there aren't.
There are now.
Not enough laws, man. I think
there's
that,
not a very good union.
Dude, you watch those Stranger Things kids, and they're on like all the late night talk shows. They've got adults telling them all the time that they're like, you know, you see like that girl from Stranger Things walking down the street being called a genius by adults. You're like, there's no way that it's going to be a happy ending, you know? There's no way you're going to grow up grounded and normal if from the age of 11 people are calling you a fucking genius.
No, you're going to grow up you know, crushing life.
I think that there's...
Because you're never going to have... You don't have any doubt. You're going to walk into rooms and just go, yes, I own this room now. Is there, and people are going to go, yeah, you probably do.
Is there one? Is there one child star? Maybe Elijah Wood. He seems quite normal. And then the other guy, his boyfriend in Lord of the Rings. Well, they're not a couple, are they? But they should be.
Who?
You know, oh, Mr. Frodo.
Oh, Sam.
California man.
Oh, Sam. Yeah, yeah. He's, Hooray, Frodo. Hooray,
yeah, he Sam. Seems pretty, like, chill. But beyond those two...
Yeah. It's, well, you know, it's the way it goes. Crystal meth.
That's the general phrase.
You can't make an omelette.
Oh, hang on a minute, sorry.
Fucking up some children, right.
So here's the big entrance. They're walking through the elevator. They've all got their machine guns out. In the background, we see Viggo from Ghostbusters 2.
What?
The main bad guy from Ghostbusters 2. Yeah, Viggo.
Yeah,
he's one of the minor, like,
he's
terrorists.
He's one of the guests.
Yeah.
Viggo.
No, he's one of the terrorists.
Is he?
Yeah.
He does look dodgy. He was in Ally McBeal.
Was he?
Yeah, he's in Ally McBeal as well.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That show has not aged well.
No, nor has Calista Flockhart. Although she, well, she hasn't, really. Because the reason is that she's like, she clearly has, and this is not, I'm not having a go, actually, but she's thin as a rake, and she, you know.
What's wrong with that? Stop.
No, she's too thin.
Boobs.
Right, okay, this bit. I thought that extra has done amazingly well.
I've never.
Because she had to get she had to get them out.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, and she had to run out hysterical with her top off.
It seems to me
that's
like
difficult.
They finished shooting and went, yeah, there's just not enough. I mean, it's the 80s. Can we just get one boob in the film?
Right.
Just one boob. Well, we've already wrapped shooting. Yeah, can we do a reshoot? We just need that one boob.
Okay, Harvey, we'll see what we can do. It's not even a joke. That's what kind of what he did. Anyway, moving on. Look at this guy. He's done a lot of blow.
Ellis is panicked. Can you imagine?
How did he get a gun into the building?
John McClane, he's a police officer.
But he was allowed to carry a gun
on the airplane. Ellis is panicking in that scene. I've seen people, take cocaine and panic because their Uber is late. Can you imagine doing a load of blow and then German, Japanese, Russian terrorists come into your Christmas party and hold you hot? Can you imagine the coked up panic?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he'd probably shut down. What's going on now? What's that?
Well, he's trying to figure out a way to the outside world.
Why are they just shooting guns summarily into the air? Calm down,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, let's hear him. Oh, amazing.
You will be witnesses. Corporations' legacy of greed around the globe.
I like, he's holding it like a Bible.
Yeah.
Genius. Look at that suit as well.
Where is Mr. Takagi?
Right. I mean, it narrows down his ethnicity. Well, it does.
Yeah,
he's looking
yeah.
out to see white faces.
Yeah, his name's...
And there aren't many...
His name's Takagi. It's going to be one of the Japanese guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So how many Japanese guys are there?
Well, there's one, there's two.
Oh, right, they've put a few in frame now.
Yeah.
So there's the three...
There's lots of Japanese men.
I didn't see any
party.
Japanese people at this party before this.
Yeah, I know. It's obviously not Ellis. There's another Japanese guy.
Law degree, Stanford. Dixit to Harvard.
Is Alan Rickman the greatest bad guy in movie history?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it because
he's... a certain type of film, yeah. Because he was brilliant in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves as well.
And I haven't seen it, but I hear he's very good as Professor Snape, whatever the fuck it's
called. Oh, yeah.
In the Harry Potter films.
In that indie film, Harry Potter.
Never seen them.
No, never seen them. They're very made for very little budget. And, you know, all handheld. They're very interesting movies.
Are they worth watching? They just seem like a bit of a...
I'd read the books first, and I can't get motivated
to
read them.
Yeah, I'm not going to...
I'm not really into wizards and heartwarming stories.
No, don't
care.
Where
morality
about,
wins,
yeah,
you know?
School.
Because I don't think that's real. I think bad guys win all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone dies. So it's not... In some ways, it's a lie.
In many ways, Die Hard is a more accurate representation of life than the Harry Potter films.
Yeah.
I just can't be... like when people say... So when I was a like, how old were we when the books came out?
What?
I would have been like 8 years old when the first books came out.
What?
Harry Potter.
No, well, yeah, you're younger than me. Yeah. So I was in my teens. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I was probably 18 when they came out.
So it came out and I was a kid, and I remember my friend's mum, who I really hated. She was like, she really spoiled her son.
Right.
Remember, she made us both a bacon sandwich once. One
but
breakfast.
Gave him.
She gave him more rashers.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not what you do to guests.
No.
You give them the rasher.
Exactly.
That's not rasher. She's got a rasher politics.
Yeah. And then
stuff.
I had a penknife.
Right.
And I showed him my penknife, and she hit me for showing a knife to her son.
Wow. He's not going to have any issues later.
Mm. And then also, here's the best one. We're on a.
He rang me last night. He wanted Coke. He was just asking for someone.
We were on holiday in Scotland when I was like 9 years old, and we were having a picnic next to a lock or a lake or something.
Right.
And a bird had shit in his hair.
Uh huh.
And I went, I went, mate, a bird has shit in your hair. And his mum looked at me and went, no, it hasn't.
Brilliant.
And then his hand went up to touch his hair, and his mum like slapped his hand down. It was like, Josh is just being a troublemaker. A bird hasn't pooed in your hair.
Wow.
And then he was like, are you sure? She was like, yeah. And I went, no, seriously, man, a bird has crapped in your hair. And then he touched his hair quickly, and there was obviously poo, and he started crying.
Right. And why was
another
this
good
awful?
Story. Another good story. I walked downstairs once when I was about 9 years old. Around
How
the same
old was he
time.
When he started crying?
About 9, 8, 9.
Because he had shit in his hair.
Yeah.
But why?
And then I walked downstairs one
Coddled.
Morning, and his mum was cuddling him.
Right.
In the morning, and I went, "What happened?" She went, "His Tamagotchi died."
His Tamagotchi died.
Anyway, she loved the Harry Potter books. So
right.
That's basically why I never read them.
That's a good reason.
Yeah.
Oh, he's found Mr. Takagi.
Mr. Takagi. I'm afraid we could talk about men's fashion and industrialization all day, but I'm afraid work must be done.
I'm afraid you're not going to survive this conversation.
Tense moment here. He needs the codes.
I need the code key. Because I am interested in the $640 million in negotiable bear bonds.
That you have locked in your vault.
What kind of terrorists are you? Who said we were terrorists?
Of course said we were terrorists.
Money. Kind of terrorist Who said we were terrorists?
He's great. So good.
Great.
Isn't he?
It's because he's so likable. Like, you're kind of rooting for him. He plays it so well.
What, for Rickman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's just he's just a brilliant actor, and he's so subtle. And
was.
And then that's the first time he smiles in the film.
Yeah.
So when he does smile, it's very powerful. He knows exactly what the motherfuck he's doing. As does Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis is watching them. He's taking the silencer off the gun.
He's taking acting notes. He's like,
Why would he take the silencer off the gun? Is it for drama, to show him that he's going to shoot him?
I don't know. It's just fucked up, isn't it? It's like villains do fucked up shit. You got to keep guessing with him. It's a thing that keeps you guessing. You think you're safe because he's taking it off, right?
Mm.
And then he just goes, have a slice of that. Have a slice of bullet.
Have a slice of bullet. That's what the working title of this film was.
Slice of bullet.
Have a slice of bullet.
Yes.
What Christmas film? What is the best Christmas film ever? It's between this, maybe Home Alone. I have an interesting observation for you about Home Alone. If you can hear it,
go on.
Home Alone. Are you ready to have your mind blown?
You're really building it up. Go on.
Home Alone is the kids' version of Die Hard. Think about it. Think about the storyline. Someone alone in a building.
Yeah, but
trying to
not
stop the bad guys.
But that's it.
That is, they're the same film, but one's with a kid.
Yeah, so he's, well, but except he's not doing it to save his relationship with his girl, with his wife.
One's trying to get to his wife.
Kevin is not.
One's trying to get to his mum. Freud said every man secretly wants to sleep with his mum. Oedipus complex, right? So
that's
many
bullshit.
Ways,
I don't secretly want to sleep with my mum.
Your mum is fit.
Yeah, no, yeah.
What about It's a Wonderful Life?
Yes, that's pretty strong. It's good. I mean, this isn't a Christmas film, but I do like Groundhog Day. It's
that's
not
kind of a
it doesn't
Christmas
qualify
film.
Though.
Yeah.
But it feels Christmassy to me.
I always feel like in It's a Wonderful Life, it's like it's a very like pro-capitalism movie, isn't it? Like at the end when everyone gives them money.
Right.
You know? He's like, "Oh,
well,
oh
I don't think that's the
oh,
point."
Oh, the townsfolk came. He was about to kill himself.
Oh, oh no. Oh.
Yeah. He's
oh, oh, Merry Christmas. Oh, Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter. Oh, Mr. Potter.
No, it's
is that what you want? If you want, I'll throw a rope around the moon and lasso it back to you right now. Is that what you want, Mary?
Is that what you want, Mary?
And then he gets really sad because he runs out of money, and like he wanted to do was travel. He got roped into running the bank, became money obsessed. The only thing that saves them is that the townsfolk will give them cash. He bankrupts the town as well.
Right.
It's a bullshit film. I think it would have been better if he died at the end.
Wow.
If the guardian angel, when he's standing on the bridge at the end, the guardian angel just went, just do it, just do it.
Just he leans in, he leans into his ear and just goes, just do it. Do it. You want to do it.
Jump. You don't have the balls. I don't think you have the balls to jump.
Jump into the black, swirling abyss.
What about...
do it.
Love Actually.
Oh, yes. Well, no, that's Love Actually is, as we both know, shit.
Same's is... What's that line? Samesies.
What's that?
End, with Colin Firth and the woman who's like Portuguese or Spanish or something.
Colin Firth. Oh, that's it. Colin Firth. He's punching way above his weight.
If you ever read the book...
With a gorgeous woman.
Have you ever read Translations by Brian Friel?
No.
It's a play.
I know it's a play.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you've read it.
Mm. Well, you know, I read books.
You don't read plays. You don't sit around reading plays.
I read plays.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah? What was the last play you read?
Translations.
In 1995.
So there's a scene in it where there's an English soldier and a woman who speaks Gaelic, and they're trying to communicate with each other, and they're both telling each other how much they like each other, but they can't understand each other.
Right.
And Curtis totally nicks that in Love Actually for Colin Firth and the chambermaid.
Yeah, he nicks a lot.
Yeah. And that bit when she takes all her clothes off and jumps in the river, like, no one would do that.
No.
There's so many things in that film that no one would do.
No. And I think we've said it before, when the little kid's running through the airport,
security, he'd be shot immediately.
Had he been black or, like, you know, anyone else, he would be killed because he was white and blonde. They just let him through.
What do you think would actually happen if a child ran through an airport nowadays?
In America?
A white child. Let's assume it's the same kid.
In America, I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's physically possible for a kid to do it. But I think in America, they'll probably get taken, you know, body, you know, down the vitals.
Okay, here we
double
go.
Double tap, boom, boom.
This is the first death of the movie. We'll come back to Love Actually in a minute. I've got more.
Okay,
more
so this
notes.
Is where so McClane is.
Oh. Like Hugh Grant, he promotes a woman so that he can fuck her, doesn't he? The tea lady.
Oh,
he like moves her to his department.
Marty McCutcheon.
And then when she kisses the American president, he fires her.
Yeah. Because
it's an insane film.
Yeah.
No one is. Here we go. Here's the big death.
But Rickman's very good in it.
Rickman was great in everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been a fool. I've been a classic fool.
Classic fool.
I've been a classic fool.
Okay, so this guy, Blondie...
Who buys their wife a CD for Christmas? Like, what? That's a terrible gift.
Hang on.
He bought her a Joni Mitchell, like, digipack CD. Of, like, and it's not even a good Joni Mitchell album. It's an album where Joni Mitchell covers her own songs.
Right.
Joni Mitchell reinterprets.
Mm.
It's stupid. It's
just dumb.
Yeah. And then the necklace he buys the woman.
Oh, look, he's got him. Hang on, sorry, he's got him.
You won't hurt me.
You are a policeman. There are rules.
Because you're a policeman.
There are rules for policemen.
Yeah. That's what my captain keeps telling me.
Boom!
It's kill
the first
me.
Big fight of the film.
It's great because it's under renovation. They run into all these girders. See,
now, what I like about this fight scene is that it's very carnal. It's not a big action. Like, he jumps on his back. Do you know what I mean? Like,
he is carnal.
No, he's trying to, like, he's trying to protect
They're
himself.
They're not fucking each other.
No, but...
You're just saying it's homoerotic.
No, I'm saying that...
They're going down the...
I'm saying that it's not like Chuck Norris, like two men fists, like on a standing collapsed tree in a valley, you know? It's like he jumps on his back immediately because he's just trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
Now he's dead.
Sorry, wait, how did he break... He broke his neck?
They fell down the stairs and his neck broke.
Oh, so there's a sound effect we missed.
Yeah, we missed it.
Because it seemed a bit of an underwhelming death. Yeah. They just flopped down...
Well, that's what's so great about it. I mean, not only is it realistic, but also he died hard.
But that,
that's Die Hard.
Isn't all death hard? Unless you're smacked off your tits on morphine?
No, if you orgasm and die, that's not... That's I guess you are actually dying hard, actually, as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You are.
Yeah. Bet your ass. Right, now he's drilling through the safe. Yeah, Love Actually is... So firstly, that's the first Richard Curtis film with a black guy. I think.
Is it?
Colin. You know that guy?
Well, that terrible storyline where him and...
goes to America just so he can get laid.
Yeah, because they think gorgeous women in America. And at the end they show up and there are gorgeous women.
Richard Curtis is quite bad at writing women, isn't he?
Just trying to think now.
So, Andy McDowell, is it raining?
Indefinitely.
Like, she shags everyone and then settles for the English guy at the end.
But I don't... I think that's a relatively... it's kind of a nice character, I think. Because she doesn't... She's a bit naughty and nice.
She's not a damsel in distress.
No, she's not. She's her own woman. Yeah, she's her own
However, she's still marrying money.
Oh, yeah, but like, you know... Well, I'm sure she, you know, likes... Was he called Hamish? The guy's called Hamish. He's, like, way older than her.
And then what's the other one? The one after that, Notting Hill.
Well, that's not... It's Notting Hill, after Four Weddings.
Yeah, yeah. Notting Hill is the one where Julia Roberts...
Yeah, indefinitely, yeah. At the end.
And then she... you know what? It would have been so good at the end of that film if she went indefinitely, and then he was like, yeah, I don't know.
What?
I'm not sure what that word means.
So, is that a yes or a no?
She...
No, shut up. Don't sing yet. Can I be clear? Well, so, that you are staying now, or you're going? She...
Elvis!
Elvis, seriously, dude.
Shut up.
This may be the famine that fills under the night.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
I don't know what that word means.
Yeah.
Does that mean maybe? What does that mean?
It's kind of who knows.
But she
no plans
like,
to return to America.
She takes
mate.
Him home. She like she kisses him. Then wants nothing to do with him. Then he meets her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Has to pretend he's the chambermaid.
He has to. Oh yeah, he does.
Takes the rubbish out.
He has to pretend he's
And then she stays at his house just so the press doesn't know where she is.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. It's a bullshit film.
Then she
I
regrets
may have
everything.
Told a few friends down the pub.
And he buys... oh, someone's dead. Look. Oh, he sent a message up on the corpse.
Yeah.
Now I have machine gun.
Her. 90 to 9.
Our security guard we missed. We should have some bright fat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is the thing, yeah.
habe ich dir gesagt?
Was habe ich dir gesagt? Ich will, dass es keiner sieht.
Haltet sie zurück. Ich sage es zum letzten Mal.
We have to do something, Hans.
Yes, we do. Tell Carl his brother is dead.
He does, Rickman does a very good, I'm weary of humanity. Like, because he's a psycho, but he's just tired of it all. So when someone's crying, he's like, oh, how tiresome, someone's crying. Someone's scared for their life, maybe we should just kill them.
See, I love this bit. This is one of my favourite bits of the film. So, he's hiding above the elevator, or the lift, as we call it in England. The lift starts going up. I don't fully understand why. Do lifts work on a pendulum? No, they don't, do they?
What?
Lifts don't work on like a pendulum. One can go up without the other one going up, right?
Yes.
I like this bit because
what are you talking about?
Look, he nearly dies there.
Yeah.
And I just like that as a little side effect, like nowhere is safe.
You know? Oh, I see. Yeah,
it's a
yeah.
side note, sorry. I just like the fact that, you know, he's hiding from them, the lift goes up, and even that his own stupidity nearly kills him.
Yeah. And the lift obviously becomes a metaphor for the hubris of the villains.
Yeah, the emptiness of the human spirit.
Yeah.
So now he walks past the naked woman. Even under the threat of death, he still checks out a picture of a naked woman. Even just, under duress.
Yeah, just constantly reinforcing the kind of man he is.
Yeah, that the 80s was all about.
Okay.
All right, who else is in Love Actually? What are the other storylines?
Well, it's Chris Marshall. I don't know the name of the black actor. They're
Colin.
Colin, yeah, their storyline is going to find American women because they're beautiful to fuck because they watch Hollywood films.
Yeah,
that's the entire story. There's Rickman and Thompson.
Yeah,
husband
and wife.
Husband
He's bored,
wife, which is a good storyline.
And then the reception,
it's
or
well acted.
The colleague secretary is like, you can have anything you want.
Then there's Neeson and his.
Why does he buy her a necklace?
Is Neeson? Yeah. Why his wife died dead in that?
Yeah. Why does he buy her a necklace? Like what? Just shag her.
Right, that's spoken. But he's in over his head, Josh. He doesn't know what he's doing. You are cold and calculating, and would be totally fine. You know, you've obviously made that calculation. What you know, you're obviously strategizing on not getting caught immediately. Whereas he's like lost in this kind of, oh, I want to have sex with this woman.
I better buy her something.
My marriage is tired. It's real, too real. It's, I suddenly feel something. I feel like a young man again. He doesn't know he's transported by it. So he buys the necklace.
You stupid.
Know? And goes, boom.
And it looks like it's from
H&M. Buy a CD
It's such an ugly necklace.
I don't recall.
It's like a big pink thingy. And then there's Bill Nighy.
A big pink thingy?
There's Bill Nighy.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Bill Nighy.
Yeah.
He plays Bill Nighy.
Yeah.
Yeah. As
That's a great one.
As he
I like that storyline. I like that storyline.
Where he's the old rocker.
Yeah, and then he ends up like choosing his manager. That's a sweet little story.
Who's Rabsy Nesbitt?
Yeah.
The guy who plays Rabsy Nesbitt.
Yeah. And then there's who's the other one? Hang on a minute. Tense moment. They're going up in the lift, they know McClane's on the roof. I think this is the did we miss the pizza line?
Remember.
Oh, here we go. Oh, I think we missed the pizza line. No fucking shit, ladies. It's not like I'm ordering the pizza.
That woman who was on the other end of the
is
phone
is a terrible police officer.
She did excellent, like, the guns were going off in her ear and she turned, she ripped the headset off and looked at it with shock. You know, but she could have just ripped it off, but she ripped it off and looked at the headphones.
But what a terrible police officer to not recognise gunshots.
Yeah.
I mean,
this guy's
good. I don't think her career went far, personally. They're for my wife. She's pregnant.
They're for my wife. But yeah.
Bag it.
She's pregnant. Yeah. Bag it. Big time. Thanks.
On my way.
Okay. So this is the guy on the ground.
Did y'all say Nakatomi Plaza?
It's a good touch, isn't it, this character, because they never meet until the end, face to face, but they...
Oh, gunshots, turn that down. Be sorry, guys, if that deafened you a little bit. In Love Actually as well, there's the Keira Knightley guy.
Oh,
like, who just fucks over his best mate.
Andrew Lincoln.
Yeah, he's just completely walking dead.
He's going out with Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah.
And, she's going out with that. And, yeah, Andrew married. Lincoln shows up with those cards going, I love you, my heart will die. My heart will go on and I will bleed. And you will, it's just like all these fucking cards. It doesn't get to the end. It's just like, and I will bleed forever thinking of you, but this is a thwarted love and I love my friend and yada, yada, yada.
And because it's Christmas.
It's like, it's a bit, it's very wet.
She kisses him, doesn't she?
I'm not entirely sure.
He also, you're getting married next year, right?
I am, Josh, yes.
And am I still your best man?
Yes, still. Okay. Yeah.
Are you sure you don't want to?
You never know.
Okay.
You never know in this world.
If I filmed you and your wife on your wedding day, and then you looked back at the wedding tape, right? And it was just all I'd done is zoomed in on your wife.
Right.
You'd have something to say about it, wouldn't you?
Well, how close are you zooming in?
Well, that's what he does in Love Actually, isn't it? She puts the wedding tape in.
Does he zoom in on her breasts?
No, it's her smiling, just her bountiful...
Yeah, it's more noble.
Even though, also, I think...
He's not a pervert.
Like, Keira Knightley was like... sort of 17, 18 when they made that film.
Yes.
That's far too young to get married.
Sweet. Yeah, no, she was pretty young. She looked younger, I think. I think she was about 20.
That's very young.
Very symmetrical face. I went to the theatre once. In fact, I was working on a show. I was sat in the audience and she came to see the show. Mm. And I looked out and her face, she turned and looked right at me. And it was like getting hit between the eyes because she has such a symmetrical face.
Yeah.
There's something about people with exactly, the symmetry thing.
Pharrell.
What do you mean?
Like Pharrell Williams.
Has he got incredibly...
deeply symmetrical.
Yeah, and if they look at you bang on, it's like they're splitting some kind of mathematical thing right down the middle of you.
Brad Pitt.
Is he symmetrical? Well, he's not anymore. He's a bit saggy.
No, he looks great.
He looks like he's got
like
a bit of
old Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Inglourious Basterds, he's hot, even though that film's 10 years old now.
Yeah. All our references are... Well, we're watching Die Hard, so anyway. Back to the film.
Who are the other... That's it for Love Actually, right? That's all the stories. There's the woman whose brother has... is in a home.
Yeah.
And then she hooks up with this super
Linney.
Hot guy.
Laura Linney.
Yeah, and then she goes to see her brother instead. Which is, to be fair, expected. I don't know why that's considered like a huge decision.
Well, that she turns down like a 10.
Yeah.
She did, didn't she?
Yeah.
But also, is that how it went? So she went, I can't have sex with a god.
Yeah.
I have to go and, it's all about values, isn't it?
Yeah.
About what we believe in.
Yeah.
Love Actually, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We believe in stupid cultural stereotypes about attractive women from
different
countries.
Yeah, and we strongly believe that there are no black people in London.
No, no.
According to every Richard Curtis movie.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, golly gosh.
Okay, now John McClane is he's going down the air vent.
At this stage, I'd like to comment on his triceps. They're looking rather nice.
He is incredibly ripped.
Not so much in this.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He's a deeply... This is like peak sexiness of... is he going to make it? He's reaching... The machine gun is going to snap.
So what? Is he going down into... right, okay.
He's just trying to lower himself to get onto a lower floor to escape the terrorists.
And he's using an AK.
Yeah.
An AK for that.
Mm-hmm.
Good. He multi-purpose... multi-purposes his stuff.
Yeah.
It's good. What the fuck am I talking about?
Oh, he's fallen.
No, you couldn't do that.
Continuity error.
No one's
going to
do that.
Slight continuity error there.
What was that?
Well, his arms fell too far from the vent. He wouldn't have been able to catch himself.
No one would be able to catch himself. He fell too far.
Do you think?
Of course.
Here we go. Classic line coming up. Come out to the coast. Get together. Have a few laughs.
Huh.
swim to the coast. We'll get together, have a few laughs.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay, and do you know what I like about this film as well? When you have bad guys with long flowing hair, when they run, they look awesome.
Yeah.
They look like crazed mops.
Did you ever have... I mean, obviously you've gone bald now, but did you
really?
Ever...
Really, have I?
Yeah.
Have I gone bald?
And you've got the classic...
What bald, a shocker.
You've got the classic bald guy beard as well, like to prove you can still grow it
no,
somewhere.
No, it's not to prove it.
I can still grow it!
No, that's not... No, it's not a conscious thing. Like, I didn't grow a beard to prove that I can grow hair.
Did you ever grow it long back
what,
in the
my
day?
My hair?
Yeah.
No. Because it would go into a mullet.
Did you ever have a middle parting?
I did. I had curtains at one point. Do you know the 90s? It was the 90s. We all made mistakes. Yeah.
Hanson was out.
Hanson was out. And E17.
Yeah.
They're all about the curtains. Good Christmas song. Stay Now.
Is it?
Yeah, I like that song. And the video is incredible. They all have these like furry puffer jackets.
It is a good
jackets.
Song, isn't it? Don't you... Yeah, and then it has that great line that goes, I touch your face while you were sleeping.
Yeah.
Which is kind of creepy. And hold your hand to understand what's going on.
Because you can't really get away with it.
Good times we had return to haunt me. Stay now.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is a good... Okay, that is
it. Don't think I could take the pain. When you win another day.
Stay now.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You're
way off the key there.
Am I?
Yeah.
Well, lucky I'm not a professional musician.
That's true.
Hey, you know what? If you wanted to come see the Kennets next year, I wonder if there was any opportunity for you to do that.
I don't know, Josh. I was looking on the internet and I saw that you were going on tour.
Oh, that's funny you should mention it. Yeah, we are. We're doing our biggest ever UK tour.
Where are you going, Josh?
Well, we'll give the dates. Oh, let's not to everyone now. Right, I mean, right. The London show is the 1st of February at the 100 Club, but that's the only one I can remember right now.
Right.
But we'll come back later with some shows. If people want to come,
yeah,
you know, it's only £8 a ticket.
Only £8.
Yep.
That's the cost of a rather extravagant KFC.
Who's driving this car? Stevie Wonder? I don't think you couldn't get away with that joke nowadays.
What was the... oh, no, because it's... Yeah.
No. Right, so Al Powell is pulling the car up. I had a feeling you'd be calling.
I got a feeling. Okay, so the cop, the lone wolf, is just... He's coming to check it out, right?
It's one of the great things about this movie is how can two people be so close yet so far apart? And in many ways, that's the metaphor for everyone in the movie.
You lost me a metaphor because I think you're talking shit.
Like, even an officer, what can I do for you?
Oh, I love how creepy he is. It's great. You'd never trust that guy, would you?
So there's... No, so there's Al Powell...
You'd never let him sell you anything, that guy.
There's Al Powell and McClane.
Al Powell and McClane.
Right?
Yeah.
Who are really close together, yet far apart, like, just geographically.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then there's Holly Gennaro and John McClane.
Right.
Husband and wife, who are really close together and that they're married, but they're just emotionally very far apart. And she lives in LA, he lives in New York. They're also geographically far apart.
Right.
There's Hans Gruber and his money. So close together, yet the safe separates them very far apart. See, it's an ongoing theme of the movie. Everyone's close to freedom, but they're not quite there. Die Hard.
You could have done a film degree. People talk loads of shit on those things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'd have to talk about, I don't know, gender politics in Star Wars. You know?
Have you seen the new Star Wars?
No, I have not.
Do you want to hear an interesting story about me going to see Star Wars?
Go ahead.
I was in Switzerland last week. And,
yeah, what were you doing there, Josh?
I was just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
And I went to
You went for a little holiday, didn't you?
I went out for some music stuff. And the night the Star Wars movie came out, there's a 30-seat cinema in this place I was in.
Right.
And I went to go and watch Star Wars.
Yes.
And they wouldn't take money at the cinema. They wouldn't take credit cards.
Right.
So I run to the bank, film starting, and I press the wrong button and take out £200 instead of £20.
Right.
Right. So then I run back to the cinema and they won't take the...
Was it 200 euros then?
Francs.
200 francs?
Yeah.
Swiss francs?
Swiss francs, right. Yeah. And she wouldn't take a 100 franc note. So then I run to a newsagent, they wouldn't take it. So then I run up to a casino.
Yeah.
The guy's like, oh, if you go to the casino, they will change some money for you.
Yeah.
So I run up to the casino and I go, hi, I have a hundred franc note, I'd like to change some money, please. And the woman behind the glass desk goes, well, you have to watch one of the dances. It's 20 francs a dance. If you want money changed.
Well, you mean?
Strippers. So I was like, okay. So I paid 20 francs,
right.
Got 80 back.
Yeah.
Right? Left, obviously didn't watch the dance because I wanted to feel the force. Awaken.
Yeah.
And so I run back to the cinema, pay my 20 francs. So I've spent 40 francs, which is like 36 quid.
Right.
Go into the cinema. And the yellow text comes up.
Yeah.
Whole fucking film is in German.
Well, the yellow text was.
Yeah.
But was it dubbed?
Longest time in a Gorsen in Annan Galaxy.
Was it dubbed?
Fountain to Film.
It was dubbed.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, so I didn't even make it through the intro and I just walked home £40 lighter.
So Adam Driver just shows up and
I didn't see it. I still haven't seen it.
You didn't see any of it?
No.
Then how do you know they were speaking German?
Because the beginning was in German.
Yeah, but the beginning's in German. They're gonna speak English with German subtitles.
No, I watched the intro and I watched like the first bit and it was in
German.
And I walked out and the woman went, yeah, it's in German, and I went, can I have my money back? She went, No.
So you spent 20
on francs
on a stripper.
I didn't even see a stripper.
Right.
Never been to a strip club.
Okay. I've been to one once.
No, with Dad's birthday.
Yeah. No, it was. It's called the Sunset Strip. And
that's in Soho.
It's in Soho.
Yeah.
And we went there. It wasn't my idea. It was someone's stag do. And they're like, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
And that's why I hate stag do's. And I was broke at the time. I think I was on Job Seekers Allowance. I was in a strip club. So we went down. And like, it was so dodgy. It's so horrible. And you know, you had to do the thing with the money.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you
spend
stick
it.
Them in.
Spend
no,
it.
You'd stick it in the garter.
Oh, right.
No, I didn't stick anything in a thong. You know, you stick it in the leg. Is it called a garter?
Like a fiver.
A fiver, a grubby fiver.
That's why America's better. You can
hepatitis fiver.
You can
the old fivers that had all the stuff in it.
Ooh.
Where all the microorganisms was just. And that was all my money anyway, because I was on Job Seekers Allowance. So I left, depressed, and it was horrible.
The Sunset Strip in Soho is an interesting strip club because whenever you see them, they're always like prisons, like you can't see inside them.
No.
Blacked out windows. And you always go, God, that looks dodgy. And then you walk past the Sunset Strip in Soho, and it's open, kind of open plan, so you can just walk past and look in at all
the
women.
Yeah, there's a bar you can look into.
And you realise why...
the women are there.
And you realise why they're normally blocked off, is because they look fucking lonely. Like, you just see these...
Yeah,
everyone's
yeah.
a businessman.
It's very, yeah.
They're all wearing suits, drinking pints at, like, midday.
Yeah, it's not great, is it?
You know?
Yeah. And back to the film.
Wrong guess.
You're taunting Hans.
Double jeopardy where the scores can really change. These are very bad for you.
So has he killed another one?
Yeah.
Just a fly in the ointment, huh? A monkey in a wrench. A pain in the ass.
And now he's found the
C4. Whoa. Check on all the others. Don't you?
They're lying about Marco and find out if anyone else is missing.
Mystery guest.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Unless you want to open the front door for me.
I'm afraid not. But you have me at a loss. You know my name, but who are you?
Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture. This is John Wayne.
There's more partial to Roy Rogers himself.
There's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers.
There you go, the catchphrase is coming.
I really like those sequin ships.
What's that?
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Mr. Cowboy.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
On that note, we're going to take a short break. This is end of part one.
Yes.
And we'll see you in a few days. to complete Die Hard with us.
Yippee-ki-yay! Yay! Motherfucker.
If it was Christina Aguilera.
Oh yeah, keep going.
Silent night. Holy night. All is calm.
All is bright.
I don't like this line. Round young virgin, mother and child.
And child.
Holy infant, so peaceful.
Tender
and mild.
Yep.
Mild. Would you describe a child as mild, or is that just for the rhyme?
Depends if it's just shat itself.
Sleeping.
Life gets rough then.
Heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly. The Excitable Boy Podcast will see you in a few days and we'll complete the movie together. Excitable Boy! Excitable Boy!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.